Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's time for our pre-opening commodity market report on AM 580. Here to do that is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Tom, and good Monday morning, everyone. Tyson Foods, the world's largest meat producer today, says that it posted a bigger-than-expected loss in its fiscal second quarter on charges and declining beef sales. Tyson Foods lost $104 million, or 28 cents per share, for the period ending March 28th. That compares with a loss of $5 million, or 2 cents per share, a year earlier. The meat producer reported a loss from continuing operations of $90 million, or 24 cents a share. Sales dipped 1% to $6.31 billion from $6.34 billion. Chicken sales rose 9%. Beef sales fell 11%, while pork revenue edged up 2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 8310 is up 97 points. The NASDAQ at 1736 is up 16.93. And the S&P 500 is at 888, and it is up 10.5 points.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now with a look at the agricultural weather is our very own Mike Sola. And Mike, there are producers in the Eastern Corn Belt that are dying to get in the fields. You got any positive news for them?
Well, unfortunately for the Eastern Corn Belt, the news is not as good as it is to the North and West, where there may have been some field work taking place, as the any location that didn't pick up the soaking rains last week probably had a fine weekend. Right now, areas in Eastern Ohio all the way to the Atlantic Ocean are seeing some of that soaking rain right now, and there were some scattered showers from the Ohio in towards the Tennessee River Valley over the weekend that, again, just complicated the situation. Not heavy rain, but I'm sure any rain is really not welcome in those areas. Now, the good news for the entire region is that the forecast from today and the computer models runs over the weekend and into early this morning do paint a drier picture, not totally dry. There will be some rain, but no major rain events are expected to develop. Some showers and thunderstorms that do occur. Stopping the dry down or slowing the dry down and keeping the farmers out of the fields for a little bit longer, and the best chance for that to occur will start today in the far western Corn Belt, where a low-pressure area across Iowa may bring some scattered showers, and then a low-pressure area storm system moving out of the western portion of the northern plains will, again, intensify the Gulf moisture flow into that area, and they will see some scattered showers and the potential for some wet weather in that area. That will work its way to the east over the course of the middle of the week and starting to depart eastern sections by Thursday. So, again, not a major rainmaker, but it does interrupt the drying process that's been taking place. And then another storm system is expected to start to develop across the Midwest. And right now it looks like western sections will start to see it around the middle of the month, the 15th. And then eastern sections towards the 16th and 17th, and then the high pressure should start to take over, and cooler weather is expected for the second half of the month. So generally, not as bad of a picture over the next week, 10 days, as was being presented by the computer models last week, but definitely not clear skies and dry conditions. Across other areas of the country, there will be some more flooding rains across the southeastern states and the Delta. They had some very powerful storms with heavy amounts of rain, anywhere from 2 to 4 inches across northern Louisiana into the northwest corner of Georgia. In some locations in between there, northern Alabama, for example, had more than 6 inches of rain. Then the Delta, precipitation totals were a little bit lower, from anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to almost 2 inches. And the further south you got, the less rainfall you saw. Rainfall totals in the southeastern states from northeastern Georgia to western North Carolina were anywhere from just 1/10 of an inch up to 1/2 inch, maybe a few local amounts in excess of an inch. The next week, 10 days, does expect to see the precipitation across the Corn Belt generally light, not shutting off, and the southeastern states also will see some drier, warmer conditions, and hopefully start to dry things out a little bit more quickly with better planting progress to evolve before the next rains develop in the area. Outside the U.S., Brazil and Argentina continuing with mostly favorable weather for their harvest, with restricted rainfall and mild to warm temperatures. South Africa receiving greater rainfall in the coming week, and that will slow field progress there, but very little harm to the unharvested summer crop in that area. And India, harvest of winter grain and oilseeds will advance favorably for the week, with very little weather to interrupt that. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City July wheat opened at 6.09, down 5 3/4. Last trade down 2.5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat opened at 5.46 3/4, down 10.5. Last trade down 3 1/4. July, 5.64, down 6. Last trade down 4. May corn opened at $4, down 6 1/4. Last trade down 3 1/4. July, 4.07 3/4, down 6. Last trade down 4 1/4. December, 4.26 1/2, down 6 3/4. Last trade down 4. May soybeans opened at 10.98 1/2, down 3 1/2. Last trade up 24 3/4. July, 10.88 1/2, down 2 1/2. Last trade up 22 1/4. November, 9.66 3/4, down 4 1/4. Last trade up 13 3/4. May soybean meal open at 353.30, down 40. Last trade up 8.30. July, 341.90, down 10. Last trade up 5.50. May soybean oil open at 37.50, up 7. Last trade up 75. July, 37.40, down 35. Last trade up 70. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
In our weekend agricultural e-newsletter, we talked about the potential strength in soybeans and an upside target in the July of around 11.15, but we didn't think we'd get it all there in one night. But that's essentially where we're at.
Oh, we did. We made a big run overnight, and it's all about the beans right now. They're the leader of this whole pit. Just more concern about Chinese buying, that you never know what to believe out of the Chinese. One minute they're talking about canceling cargoes, and the next minute they're talking about increasing the reserves in the country. So, you know, everybody's still concerned that we're going to see ending stocks in the U.S. dip below 100 million bushels, and that just solidifies the need for a good crop this year in order to try and make up for it. Spreads continue to widen, which is a sign of a bull market, and I guess now you got to think that we're going to go well beyond your 11.15 mark, and I would assume make a run at that 11.25 or 11.50 mark, which is where I would say the next stopping point is for the soy complex. Corn's going to be struggling here a little bit with planters running in the west. I think most of Iowa, Minnesota are running hard. There's going to be speculation on tonight's planting progress. My guess is everybody's going to be in that 35 range on total progress. I tend to think it'll actually be higher than that from what I've heard in Minnesota, Iowa, the Dakotas, Nebraska. Even Missouri's probably planted a fair bit more than what the USDA had them at as of last week. And we've seen some minor planting activity in the eastern Corn Belt along with that. So I won't be surprised to see us at 40 or better in tonight's update, which will be a little bearish to the corn.
Yeah, what will the traders make if Illinois is at 10 or 11 or 12 or 13 after being 4 last week? Will they make anything of it yet?
I, you know, they're probably going to make a little bit of something on it, but what you have to keep in mind is a year ago it was the Western Belt that was behind, and they're roughly 60% of our production. This year it's the Eastern Corn Belt, which is only about 30% of the production number that's running behind. We all know that we'll get it planted at some point in time, Dave, so I don't know how much they'll put into that.
Mm-hmm. Wheat also had a little bit of a struggle overnight.
Yeah, and it's the same way. I think that we've still got way too much soft red wheat out here. So corn and wheat are both in the follower role. I think that in order to get the corn to push out of this little sideways pattern that corn's in, we're going to need to try and see the beans make a big run. You would have thought with beans up at 1.36 cents last night, you would have been able to get corn to trade in the plus, but we didn't. So, you know, it tells you how much of a follower we are right now. And I think wheat's in the same position.
Calls, Lynn, please.
I'm going to go with 20 better in the beans to get started. I think corn's going to be down 3 to 4 as we get started with activity taking place in the west. And I would say wheat's going to be down 5.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. You can subscribe to our free WILL agricultural e-letter. It's as simple as going to our website at WILLAG.org, and in the right navigation window, click on the subscribe link. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana, and it's now 9:01 Central Time.